Picture a hospital hallway. It has those harsh fluorescent lights. A discharge planner hands you a thick folder and casually says the words skilled nursing and custodial care. Like you're supposed to inherently know the difference between them.
Right, and they say it so quickly, too.
Exactly. And then the planner asks which insurance your parent has. You say Medicare. The planner nods, clicks a pen, and asks, and does she also have Medi-Cal?
And that is the exact moment families completely freeze.
You freeze because, well, you had no idea there was an also, you assumed Medicare was the whole package for aging.
It's a very common assumption.
Right. Or, you know, maybe this moment happens at your kitchen table late at night. You're staring at a facility contract, trying to figure out how to pay for care you really thought was automatically covered.
Yeah, it is a system that catches almost everyone by surprise. Mostly because it operates on rules that feel entirely counterintuitive to anyone outside the healthcare industry.
So true. Well, we want to welcome you to our latest Deep Dives. We are editors at California Care Compass.
Yes, we are.
Today, we are taking the California Care Compass Guide on how Medicare and Medi-Cal work together for California seniors. And we are breaking it down into a highly practical roadmap.
Which is so desperately needed.
It really is. Our mission is to untangle a very complex safety net for California families who find themselves suddenly navigating a totally foreign system.
We are going to explain exactly how these two distinct programs braid together. The simple truth is that many seniors in California end up needing both programs.
Yeah.
But before we get into the details of what is actually covered, we have to clear up the biggest source of confusion right out of the gate.
Oh, the names.
Yes, the names themselves are a massive barrier.
They really are an absolute disaster for families trying to learn this on the fly. I mean, Medicare and Medi-Cal sound completely identical.
They do.
People use them interchangeably all the time in casual conversation, but they do entirely different things. Okay, let's unpack this. Think of Medicare as the standard foundation of a house.
I like that.
Yeah, it is a foundation that everyone gets when they reach a certain age. While Medi-Cal is a specialized safety net built underneath that house for those who need extra support.
That is a highly accurate way to visualize it. What is fascinating here is how different their origins and administrative structures actually are.
Right, because they do not come from the same place.
Exactly. Medicare is a uniform federal insurance program. It is based primarily on age, specifically for people 65 and older.
Okay.
And it is administered entirely at the federal level by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Your bank account balance does not matter at all.
Wow. So it is essentially an age-based entitlement. You turn 65, you get the foundation.
Right. It is the insurance card a person receives because they reached a certain age, provided they or their spouse paid into the Social Security system over their working years.
Okay. So then what is Medi-Cal?
Medi-Cal operates on a completely different philosophy. Medi-Cal is California's specific version of the joint federal and state Medicaid program. It is based on financial need, not just age. And it is administered locally by the California Department of Healthcare Services.
So is the state stepping in?
Yes. It exists specifically because the Medicare Foundation has cracks. And many people simply cannot afford to pay for the extra support using out-of-pocket funds.
So Medicare is the primary insurance card. And Medi-Cal is the safety net underneath it.
Precisely. The federal government refers to individuals who have both as dual eligibles.
Oh, I have heard social workers use the phrase Medi-Midi.
Yes.
I used to assume they were just speaking in shorthand or stuttering. I did not realize it meant a senior literally carrying two competing insurance cards in their wallet.
Yeah, Medi-Midi is the ubiquitous slang you will hear in every single hospital and clinic in California. It just means both programs are required to pay their share.
Here is where it gets really interesting, though. If Medicare handles all the acute hospital emergencies and surgeries, we have to ask why families are still facing total bankruptcy when a parent gets older.
It is a massive blind spot in the system.
People just assume Medicare is a comprehensive plan that takes care of all the realities of old age.
But it is not. Medicare is actually a very specific kind of acute medical insurance with incredibly rigid limits.
Which is where the foundation cracks.
Exactly. To understand where families get into trouble, we have to look at the underlying logic of the four parts of Medicare.
Okay, walk us through them.
Part A is hospital insurance, paying for inpatient hospital stays and a very limited amount of rehabilitation. Part B covers outpatient medical care like doctor visits, lab work, and preventive care.
And Part C is the private one, right?
Yes. Part C is Medicare Advantage, which is when a private company bundles A and B together. And finally, Part D is for prescription drugs.
I mean, that sounds comprehensive on paper. But the part that absolutely shocks families dealing with aging parents is what Part A actually covers when it comes to long-term facilities.
Yes. This is the crucial distinction that every single family must memorize before a crisis hits.
Absolutely.
Medicare pays for skilled care. It absolutely does not pay for custodial care.
Wait, can you break those two terms down?
Of course. Skilled care is highly medical. We are talking about wound care, intravenous antibiotics, or rigorous physical therapy after a stroke.
Okay, so things you need a professional for.
Right. Custodial care, on the other hand, is help with what the federal government calls activities of daily living.
Like what?
That means bathing, dressing, eating, using the restroom, or transferring from a bed to a wheelchair.
Basically, custodial care is the kind of help that does not require a registered nurse with a medical degree, but it absolutely requires another human being to be in the room for several hours a day to keep your parents safe.
Exactly. And this is the bombshell that upends family finances. Medicare does not pay for long-term custodial care.
Wow.
Not in a nursing home, not in assisted living, and not at home. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services states this plainly in all their literature.
So if your parent needs someone to help them bathe and dress for the next 5 years due to dementia, Medicare pays nothing for that caregiver.
Absolutely nothing. And even when Medicare does step in to pay for a skilled nursing facility, the time limit feels incredibly arbitrary.
Right, let's talk about that limit.
Under Part A, Medicare will pay for a maximum of 100 days in a skilled nursing facility.
Just 100 days.
Yes, and that only happens after a qualifying inpatient hospital stay. Crucially, it only continues if your parent is actively improving with that skilled care.
Which makes sense if you think about when this was designed.
Exactly. The underlying logic dates back to 1965. The system was built to get a patient back on their feet after an acute event like a heart attack.
It was never designed to house someone for a decade with a chronic, slow decline illness.
Not at all. So the first 20 days in a facility are covered fully. Days 21 through 100 require a daily copay. And after day 100, the Medicare coverage simply stops.
Let me play devil's advocate here. Say a patient gets discharged from the hospital to a rehab facility, but they plateau on day 30 and still cannot walk to the bathroom on their own. Medicare is essentially saying, not our problem, simply because the patient is not actively making progress.
I know.
That seems incredibly harsh.
It is harsh. The moment they stop improving, the skilled coverage ends. This is the exact moment that families realize they are standing on the edge of a financial cliff.
Because they are suddenly looking at a massive monthly bill for custodial care, and the Medicare Foundation is gone.
Yes.
So what does this all mean for a middle-class family? Historically, there has been this terrifying fear that families had to spend themselves into total poverty, drain every bank account, and sell off everything just to get help.
Because when Medicare abandons you at the threshold of long-term custodial care, the only lifeline left is medical.
Right, the safety net.
And that lifeline is substantial in California. It specifically covers the things that Medicare leaves behind.
Like what?
If your parent qualifies, medical will cover long-term custodial care in a nursing facility. It also covers a massive vital program called in-home supportive services.
Oh, I have heard of that.
That specific program is actually administered through the California Department of Social Services, and it pays a caregiver to help your parent safely stay at home.
So this means a place your dad can safely go during the day, or someone come into the house, so you can actually go to work without worrying he left the stove on.
Exactly. It covers community-based adult services, which are structured daytime programs for frail adults.
That is huge.
It is. And in certain counties, it covers the assisted living waiver, which uses medical funds to pay for care in a licensed assisted living facility, so a senior does not have to be institutionalized in a nursing home.
And does it help with those Medicare costs at all?
Yes. Furthermore, medical often pays the Medicare premiums and copays that middle-class families struggle to afford.
Getting back to that historical fear of total poverty, there was a massive game-changing rule shift recently that families really need to understand.
This is perhaps the most important policy update for California seniors in a generation. As of January 1st, 2024, the California Department of Healthcare Services eliminated the asset limit for most non-MAGI medical categories.
Okay, let me stop you right there because non-MAGI is a heavy piece of bureaucratic jargon. We cannot let that slide by. What does that actually mean for the listener?
Fair point. Sorry about that. MGI stands for Modified Adjusted Gross Income. It is basically the standard tax-based category used for most adults under the Affordable Care Act. But seniors and people with disabilities fall into a specialized non-MAGEI category with an entirely different set of rules.
Ah, I see.
For decades, this specific senior category had brutal asset limits. You could not have more than a few thousand in savings to your name.
Which is terrifying.
Very. Now, for most of these senior categories, the asset test has been completely removed.
Meaning the terrifying asset cliff is just gone.
Yes. For decades, seniors literally had to spend down their life savings to qualify for help. Now, strict income rules still apply, meaning your monthly cash flow is still heavily scrutinized, and there are complexities depending on the specific program you need. But you no longer have to document every single bank account, sell off investments, and drain your savings just to get basic care.
I mean, that is genuinely life-changing for so many people who assumed they had too much in savings to ever qualify for help.
It really is.
So now that we understand the foundation and the safety net, we have to look at how these two distinct bureaucracies actually talk to each other in the real world.
It's complicated.
Let's walk through a common scenario to make it real. I will use a zipper analogy to describe how Medicare acts as the primary payer and Medi-Cal zips up the remaining gaps.
Okay, lay out the scenario.
Imagine a 78-year-old mom. She has her Medicare card, and she recently qualified for Medi-Cal, making her Medi-Cal Medi. Let's see how the zipper operates day to day. She goes to her primary care doctor.
Okay, so the doctor's billing department submits the claim to Medicare first. Medicare pays its primary share for the visit. Whatever balance is left, usually that standard copay, is the gap. The doctor then bills Medi-Cal, and Medi-Cal zips it up by paying that remaining amount. Your mom pays nothing out of pocket.
Perfect. Then she goes to the pharmacy for a prescription.
Her drug coverage is still running through Medicare Part D because federal rules require dual eligibles to get their medications through the federal system.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. But Medi-Cal helps facilitate a low-income subsidy that pays her monthly Part D premiums and her pharmacy copays.
And then, unfortunately, the crisis happens. She falls, fractures a hip, and goes to the hospital.
Medicare Part A completely covers the acute hospital stay. She is then discharged to a skilled nursing facility for rehabilitation.
Just like we talked about earlier.
Exactly. Medicare covers the first 20 days completely, from day 21 onward, when that hefty Medicare daily copay usually kicks in.
Medi-Cal steps in to pick up that cost.
You got it.
But then we hit the plateau. The rehab team says she is not actively improving her walking distance. She still needs help bathing and toileting, but she no longer qualifies for skilled nursing. So Medicare stops paying entirely.
Without Medi-Cal, the family is in full panic mode trying to figure out how to pay a private facility rate.
But with Medi-Cal?
With Medi-Cal, she can remain in that facility as a long-term care resident. Assuming the specific facility accepts Medi-Cal, Medi-Cal simply becomes the primary payer for her custodial care.
Or she goes home.
Right. Alternatively, she goes home, and the family applies for in-home supportive services through the California Department of Social Services. Medicare handles all future acute medical events, and Medi-Cal handles the long, slow tail of daily help that follows.
Wow. But I have to say, navigating two completely separate insurance systems with two different sets of rules sounds like an administrative nightmare for a family already stressed by illness.
Oh, it is a profound administrative burden.
Yeah.
This brings us to dual eligible special needs plans, often called DSNPs.
DSNPs.
Okay. These are a specific type of Medicare Advantage plan designed exclusively for people who carry both cards. Under a massive initiative called CalAIM, launched by the California Department of Healthcare Services, the state is fundamentally restructuring how the money pools work.
Wait, to force these bureaucracies to collaborate?
Yes, exactly.
Because calling two different 800 numbers, explaining your mother's medical history twice, and getting bounced between the state and the federal government is exhausting.
CalAIM changes the financial incentives. The state is trying to align dual eligibles into matched plans run by the same parent organization.
That makes so much sense.
If a single plan is managing both the medical side and the social support side, they are incentivized to keep your parent healthy at home.
Because paying for a care coordinator or a wheelchair ramp saves the plan money compared to paying for a nursing home stay.
Exactly. The vision is that a family has one integrated care team and exactly one phone number to call when something goes wrong.
That sounds amazing.
You are not required to enroll in a DSNP, but if coordinating care is becoming unmanageable, having a single case manager bridging both systems is a tremendous relief.
We have to address the anxiety of the gray area, though.
Yes.
What happens to the middle-income families? What if my mom's monthly pension puts her income slightly too high to qualify for full Medi-Cal, but it is nowhere near enough to pay for private custodial care out of pocket.
This is the middle income squeeze, and the panic these families feel is incredibly valid. It is a fundamentally flawed situation for the middle class.
It really is.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, there are imperfect but very real options available in California. The first is the Medical Share of Cost program.
How does that work?
Some seniors with higher incomes can still qualify for Medi-Cal, but they are required to get a designated portion of their own income toward their medical expenses each month before the state coverage kicks in.
Let me push back on this. If my mom's income is just above the limit and her calculated share of cost takes almost her entire monthly pension, how is she supposed to pay for rent and buy groceries? That does not sound like a safety net at all.
Your criticism is entirely justified, and it highlights a harsh reality of the system.
Yeah.
For a senior living independently in the community, a high share of cost can absolutely threaten their ability to buy groceries or pay rent.
Right.
However, the context shifts dramatically when a senior is facing nursing home bills. When a family is looking at private facility rates that can drain an entire estate in months, paying that monthly share of cost, even if it takes most of a pension, is mathematically much more manageable than paying the full private rate.
So it is often the lesser of two severe financial evils.
Exactly.
The second option for the middle income squeeze involves the Medicare savings programs, correct?
Yes, these are also administered by the California Department of Healthcare Services. The income limits for these specific savings programs are higher than the strict limits for full comprehensive Medi-Cal. Even if parent has too much monthly income for the full safety net, they might still qualify for the state to pay their standard Medicare premiums and cost-sharing obligations.
Oh, which frees up their own cash flow for other living expenses.
Exactly.
But figuring out which of these narrow, highly specific programs applies to your exact income level is daunting. A family really needs a knowledgeable expert to look at their specific paperwork.
That is precisely why we have to emphasize the Health Insurance Counseling and Advocacy Program.
HCAP.
Yes, it is widely known by the acronym HCAP. This is a vital, underutilized resource. HCAP is funded directly by the California Department of Aging in every single county across the state.
And it is free, right?
Yes, these counselors are free, they are highly trained in the mechanics of these systems, and they are completely neutral.
That is so important.
They do not sell insurance policies. They will sit down with you, look at your parents' specific income and health needs, and map out the maze.
A free, neutral guide who is not trying to sell you a private plan is exactly what families need. Which transitions us perfectly into our editorial segment for today.
Let's do it.
We want to pivot to a very direct list of what you need to do this week. Not next month, not when things finally calm down, but this week.
Step one, find your parents' red, white, and blue Medicare card. Photograph the front and the back. Save that photo on your phone where you can easily find it at 2 a.m. when an emergency room clerk is demanding it.
Step two, check if your parent already has Medi-Cal. You would be amazed how many seniors enrolled years ago and completely forgot they carry the status.
That's true.
Ask them and then verify it by calling the local county office.
Step three, if your parent is under the income limits and not currently enrolled, request an application from the county immediately.
Yeah.
Remember, the asset rules changed dramatically at the start of 2024. Your previous assumptions about them having too much in a savings account might be completely obsolete now.
Step four. Look up the phone number for your local health insurance counseling and advocacy program office on the California Department of Aging website. Save it in your phone contacts under HCAP right now.
Step five, if you are currently sitting in a hospital or rehabilitation facility, you need to ask the discharge planner 3 specific questions and you need to demand the answers in writing.
What are they?
What is the exact discharge date? What specific level of care is being recommended by the medical team, and who is going to pay for it after Medicare stops paying? Getting these answers on paper cuts through the verbal confusion.
Great advice. And step six, this is crucial. Never sign anything from a cold calling Medicare Advantage marketer who shows up on your porch or calls your house unsolicited.
Never.
It is almost never in your parents' best financial or medical interest. Use a neutral HCAP counselor instead.
Unpacking these rules raises an important underlying issue about the nature of this entire bureaucratic system.
Look, these federal programs were designed back in 1965. They were built by policymakers who could not possibly have imagined the sheer length of modern aging.
Or how incredibly complex and resource-intensive the last decade of life would become.
Exactly. The federal government has lagged painfully far behind the reality of modern medicine. But California has made a very different active decision.
Yes.
California has decided that aging in the community, aging in your own home with robust support, is actually a priority worth funding.
The state removed the asset limit. They expanded waivers. They are actively building an infrastructure that tries to catch people before they fall into a nursing home, recognizing that community care is often better for the patient and ultimately more sustainable.
But here's the lingering thought we want to leave you with today. What does it say about our society that this life-saving safety net is completely hidden behind confusing acronyms, identical-sounding names, and complex income algorithms?
It is a profound barrier.
The system we have today only rewards the families who persistently ask questions, who demand things in writing, and who absolutely refuse to accept the first no from a tired administrator. You have to fight to be informed.
You are not behind if this feels overwhelming, though. You are exactly where every family starts.
Next time on The Deep Dive, we are going to thoroughly explore in-home supportive services. We will explain exactly how a family member can actually get paid to be a caregiver in California.
And we will go over what the county social worker is really looking for when they conduct a home assessment.
It is essential information for anyone trying to build a sustainable plan to keep a parent living safely at home. We will see you then.
Bye, everyone.
Remember, when you are standing in that fluorescent hospital hallway and they ask if your parent also has Medi-Cal, you now know exactly what that means. Keep asking questions.